The polyptery goes through various stages of development, with its birth beginning its struggle with the bourgeoisie. At first, the contest is carried on by individual laborers, then by the workpeople of a factory, then by the operatives of one trade, in one locality, against an individual bourgeois, who directly exploits them. The direct attacks not against the bourgeois conditions of production, but against the instruments of production themselves. They destroy imported waste that compete with their labor. They smash to pieces machinery. They set factories ablaze. They seek to restore by force the vanished status of the workmen of the Middle Ages. At this stage, the labor steal from an incoherent mass scattered over the whole country and broken up by their mutual competition. If anywhere, they unite to form more compact bodies. This is not yet the consequence of their own active union, but of the union of the bourgeoisie, which class, in order to attain its own political ends, is compelled to set the whole polity in motion, and is moreover yet, for a time, able to do so. At this stage, therefore, the proletarians do not fight their enemies, but enemies of their enemies, the remains of absolute monarchy, the landowners, the non-industry bourgeois, the petty bourgeoisie. Thus, the whole historical movement is concentrated in hands of the bourgeoisie. Every victory so obtained is a victory for the bourgeoisie. But with the development of industry, the proletariat not only increases in number, it becomes concentrated in greater masses. Its strength grows, and it feels that strength more. The various interests and conditions of life within the ranks of the proletariat are more and more equalized. In proportion as machinery obliterates all distinctions of labor, and nearly everywhere reduces wages to the same low level. The growing competition among the bourgeois and the resulting commercial crisis make the wages of workers even more fluctuating. The unceasing improvement of machinery, ever more rapidly developing, makes their livelihood more and more precarious. The coalition between individual workmen and individual bourgeois take more and more character of coalitions between the two classes. Thereupon, the workers begin to form combinations, trade unions, against the bourgeois. They club together in order to keep up the rate of wages. They form permanent association in order to make provision beforehand for these occasional revolts. Here and there, the contest breaks out into riots. Now and then, the workers are victorious, but only for a time. The real fruit of their battles lies not in the immediate result, but in the ever-expanding union of the workers. This union is helped on by the improved means of communication that are created by modern industry, and that place the workers of different locality in contact with one another. It was just this contact that was needed to centralize the numerous local struggles, all of the same character, into one national struggle between classes. But every class's struggle is a political struggle, and that union, to attain which the burghers of the Middle Ages, with their miserable highways, required centuries. The modern proletariat, thanks to the railways, achieve in a few years.